Okay, we are back. We are talking to Ron Gallatin, who is a retired attorney, a CPA, and a former managing director at Lehman Brothers. His wife, Meryl, is a prominent philanthropist in Florida. And when they visit Israel, they prefer hanging around in the soup kitchens and the drug addict drop-in centers rather than going to the fancy restaurants. So, Ron, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'd like to start by asking you, what's the most effective way for people to give tzedakah?
Well, Doug, I think the first thing that you do as a donor is you say to yourself, what is it that I'm looking to accomplish? Who am I trying to help? How am I trying to help them? And then it's a matter of looking around and finding, I guess in Israel, the Amutal, or in the States, a 501c3, which is doing exactly what I want and is doing it in the most cost-effective manner.
Mm-hmm. Do you find when you look for places like that that either they're not doing what you want or they're not doing it in the most cost-effective manner?
I think you find both. One of the things that we have found through the years is the fact that as charities get bigger particularly, they lose some of what their original mandate was, and sometimes they're getting bigger for the purposes of getting bigger. Expenses tend to pile up, and what you end up doing is losing the focus on what the original objective was. And then there are other charities which have so many different focuses that the donor, when he gives money directly to that charity, doesn't know exactly where his dollars go or shekel is going.
Yeah, that is, I think, probably one of the biggest problems. What ends up, we found, is that the charities, just the bigger ones, are becoming bigger just really for the sake of sustaining the ongoing infrastructure rather than working for the rightful constituency.
Well, actually, you'll find many public companies doing the same thing. Sometimes what you end up with is the issues are what is best for management rather than what's best for the shareholders. And one of the things that I think people don't focus on when they're giving tzedakah is the fact that they are the shareholders.
The donor is, or the soup kitchen?
No, the donor definitely is the shareholder. The donor is the one whose money is being used, no differently than if he bought an initial public offering of stock. The same way his money would be used by the board of directors of a for-profit company, he's giving money into an entity which is supposed to be making a good investment for him. The investor in a public company and a for-profit company is looking to make a dollar return on his investment. The investor, as I call him, in a charity, is looking to have his investment, that's the money he gives, spent effectively to accomplish precisely what he wants. And it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah. Now, we've certainly seen that. When people are looking to find an investment or, in fact, a charity, so often they make the wrong decision. My experience personally has been my company helps people who are donating money to Israel. We help them to oversee that. And one of the things we found is we explained to them that sometimes you'll give money, you know, to build a yeshiva or to build a building, and at the end of the day you don't get what you wanted, right? You invested the money and you don't get it. And so we say, listen, we'll be on the ground to oversee it. But at the end of the day, I've had a lot of people turn down this service and say, Doug, that's a great idea. I really wish I could have some oversight, but, well, I know the guy in charge of the charity, or I know the Rosh Yeshiva. I don't think I need that because I trust him. And I always say it's not about trust, it's about competency, right? Whether they can do it.
Well, there's been a lot of change in the management of charities and amutas through the years. If we're talking about the historical, you'll find out that in the States, for example, most charities were run by MSWs, people who had masters in social work. What has now tended to happen is that you're having people with MBAs, masters in business administration, ending up running them, because I think that what the donor has to understand, and as the charity, there is no such thing as a not-for-profit business anymore. All there is are for-profit businesses. Now, if that doesn't make any sense, the definition of profit when you're making an investment in a public company is that you make a dollar profit. The definition of profit when you're dealing for, pardon my terminology, not-for-profits, is the profit is coming from the help that you're giving the people who you're aimed at helping. That's what the return on investment is. So in one case, I'm sorry.
How do you measure that?
It's a little bit more ephemeral than your stock price going up and down, but it's totally, totally manageable. And that is that a certain amount of people are fed for a certain amount of dollars. A certain amount of Holocaust survivors are having shoes bought for them. How many pairs of shoes came in for those dollars? How much food was given out for those dollars? In many ways, if you look at the expenses of a charity, and you see that 37% or 28% is being spent for administrative expenses, that means that only 63 cents or 72 cents is going to help people. So if you look at the expense ratio, you can generally get your first step on how much help is given, how much profit you're getting. Now, the second part of the issue of how your profit is what profit were you trying to get? Was your profit that you wanted to feed people? Was your profit that you wanted to buy shoes for Holocaust survivors? Was your profit that you had youth at risk that you were trying to help? You determine what your profit is. You determine what you're looking for. And then you go out and you find the organization who will give you the biggest bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Ron Gallatin, who's a retired attorney as well as a CPA and a former managing director at Lehman Brothers. He's very involved in charity circles and also specifically in getting people involved in real hands-on charity. He's been explaining to us about how to oversee or how to choose charities to measure whether you're getting the real bang for your buck. So a lot of times you have to make a decision whether you should invest in a small charity or in a large charity. Do you have a rule of thumb, or it just depends on the charity?
It depends no differently than the same way if someone asked, would I invest in a small stock or a large stock, a company that is just a startup or a company that's mature. They both have positives, they both have negatives. The same way that I'm sure as a financial advisor, you tell your client that he should buy stock X or stock Y. Not every one of your X's are large or small, and not every one of the Y's small or large. It genuinely is something you shouldn't buy a stock, you shouldn't buy a bond, you shouldn't accept an asset allocation unless you understand it. It's no different with a charity. Absolutely none. You have to determine what you're looking for, see whether or not there is a charity out there that's doing what you want it to do, and it doesn't matter whether they're large or small. There's a lot of things that economy of scale can accomplish. However, to be large enough for economies of scale, you end up with the fact that you end up with overhead. Can they offset each other? Yes. So I can't give you a hard and fast rule. I really can't.
Well, how about some of the overhead, which is really the salary that the CEO of the charity gets, which is sometimes seems so high that people complain. They say, listen, you know, I'm going to give my donation of $1,000, and this guy's going to walk away with $1 million salary. I don't really want to pay for that. On the other hand, they say, well, listen, in order to get that guy to run the organization, you got to pay him $1 million. Is that a reasonable measurement?
Well, so first let me start with the fact that the highest paid execs of organization I've ever seen have been more in the $400,000 to $500,000 range. I haven't seen a seven-digit one. But having said that, I again don't think there's a hard and fast rule. If someone is accomplishing a job, and someone is, and the definition of accomplishment again is how many people I'm helping in a certain way and what it costs per dollar to do it. I don't believe that it is that someone who has to be a volunteer and accept nothing to be the right person to do a job. And if I don't believe that that just because someone's being paid what appears to be a lot of money and clearly is to the donor, that that's a hard and fast rule. Now, having said that, in the public charity I created, there are no expenses and no one gets paid, or if they do, I pay them. But I really think that what you do is you look at the totality of the expenses of the organization. And I wouldn't, just because the CEO is paid X dollars, say I'm not doing that, because I know many cases where the person who's paid what appears to be that outlandish amount of money in one donation from one person that he cultivates more than pays his own salary.
So, in other words, that's not the basic measure you would look at. You'd look at the overall expense ratio to keep the charity going compared to how much actual money goes to the ultimate recipient.
That's to me, that's the whole story.
I gotcha. Okay, Ron, we're just about out of time. We've been talking to Ron Gallatin, who's an attorney, a former Wall Street guy, and very involved in charity. But in the last minute, could you just tell us what is Hands-On Tzedakah that you're involved in, and how can people learn more?
Well, the Hands-On Tzedakah I created, I guess about 7 or 8 years ago, and it had a very simple philosophy. Let me first, so if we're running out of time, they can find it on the web on www.handsontzedakah.org, and we spell Hands-On Tzedakah, HANDSONTZEDAKAH.org, one word. And the simplest thing was, and after years of having done fundraising, I've determined that the two things that stop people from giving money is the expenses and the not knowing where it's going. So simply put, my wife and I pay 100% of the expenses, so everybody knows every dollar they give goes to help people. And number two, we seed all of the projects, and every project is expandable, and the money that we raise from other people goes specifically to what they want it to. They can designate to, at this point, 46 different projects. Some are in Israel, some are in the States. Most of them are Jewish oriented, and a bunch aren't. I have a bunch of non-Jewish donors, some of who actually have designated to Israel. But the reality is that we go out, we find the causes that the other charities aren't funding because they've fallen below the radar screen. So back to your question of large and small, we fill that intermediate gap, and we've tried to find people who have no expenses of their own and are helping other people or organizations who have low expenses. Same test that I mentioned a moment ago that I would use as an investor if I were making the investment, because everything we take in my mind, there is a responsibility to treat as public funds. As it's not mine, it's a fiduciary obligation. In 20 seconds or less, we are out there looking for safety net issues. We are looking for people who are having problem paying their bills, people who are elderly and aren't being taken care of, youth at risk, and unfortunately we've had to spend money, obviously, over the last few years on victims of terror, predominantly in Israel, but we even help people in Katrina hurricane, and we also help people in Guatemala. So I think everything on the website pretty well organized to give you a feel of what we do and why. And if anyone wants to learn any more, hopefully the website will answer, or my number and email address are sitting there.
Okay, Ron Gallatin with HandsOnTzedakah.org. Thank you very much for your time. This was really quite enlightening.
Thank you.